Call for a moment of silence, please. Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Kathy Hawkins.
Here.
Dennis Olson.
Here.
Bonnie Onion.
Here.
Harry Robinson.
Here.
Ken Offinger.
Here.
Clark Cotton.
Here.
Paul Greener.
Here.
First item of business is recognition and awards, and we have a Blaine Builder Award, and if I could ask Chief Hassel to come forward, please.
Jim, the Blaine City Council, along with the Blaine Police Department, would like to recognize you for your 6 years of outstanding service as a Commissioned Reserve Officer for the Blaine Builder Award. Jim and Cheryl moved to Blaine several years ago after Jim retired from a career as an electrical engineer in the Midwest. Cheryl's seated in the back with a hammer in the hand, and it was Cheryl who allowed Jim to come play with us for all these years. So,
I wanted you to know how much we appreciated everything you've given up for the last several years, too, Cheryl. Most folks in Jim's position would have focused their attention on perfecting their golf and boating skills, but for a lasting gratitude, Jim's natural curiosity and sense of community led him to our door at the police department in a conversation about volunteer opportunities. As it happened, Blaine Police Officer Michael Munden had just taken on the very large project of coordinating and providing a Commissioned Reserve Officer Academy for the City of Blaine and the Whatcom County Sheriff's Office. That academy began on September 5 of 2006, and Jim West attended the beginning of that academy just as an observer, just to see what the process entailed. He kept coming back to the academy as a recruit. Over 200 hours of instruction later, having been pepper sprayed, handcuffed, wrestled with the ground, tasered, and challenged with many hours of studying and practice and after hours of lectures, Jim received his Washington State Certificate of Graduation from the Certified Reserve Police Academy on February 1 of 2007 and was commissioned as a Reserve Police Officer for the City of Blaine. Jim was called out by his classmates to also receive their Most Inspirational Officer Award for his mentoring, his ongoing assistance to the instructors and students alike, and as well as his sense of humor. In each of the several years since taking his commission, Jim West has contributed hundreds of hours to the citizens of Blaine, serving without compensation as a reserve police officer. He's been called out of his warm bed in the middle of the night an uncounted number of times to respond to the station in weather both wonderful and lousy, to help with investigations or transport arrestees from Blaine to the jail in Bellingham, performing this duty so that the police officer who had made the arrest could remain in Blaine and protect the community. He's also served as our reserve unit coordinator for years, ensuring that the other volunteers had the training and equipment needed to perform their mission, keeping the records and mentoring them when they ran into problems. On nights when the power would go out across the city in major storms, something that hasn't happened in years, thank you, Raven, but when the power did go out, of those folks who would come in and take out a police car and patrol the darkened city to protect everyone else's family and home. Jim and Cheryl have foregone more boating trips than they probably care to recall in order to make sure that Jim could be here for our city's special events, like the 4th of July, Drayton Harbor Days, not as a spectator, but as a protector, a traffic manager, and a friendly uniformed presence to all who attended. He has maintained ongoing training standards required of all police officers in policy and procedure, defensive tactics, firearms, emergency vehicle operation, breathalyzer, and yes, even in tasers. The men and women of the Blaine Police Department are proud to be the uniformed representatives of our community. We depend on our volunteers to accomplish our mission. We are all proud to have counted among us someone as dedicated, as intelligent, and as compassionate as Jim West. We are saddened when Jim announced that in this, the year of his 70th birthday, he would be hanging up his badge and his duty belt and trading in his uniform and bulletproof vest for his boater's vest once more. He takes with him our gratitude for the thousands of hours he has given of himself as a representative and a protector of our community. There's a saying in law enforcement that goes like this: most people would not do what a police officer does for $1 million. A career police officer does it for a whole lot less than that. A reserve officer does it for free. Jim West not only did it for free, he always threw in a smile in the process. So, Jim, I can't thank you enough for the mentorship, the time, the very least we can do. A Blaine Builders Award being awarded to you tonight for 6 years of outstanding service as a reserve police officer for the city of Blaine. From 2007 to 2012, building a safer Blaine for both now and the future. Presented by the Blaine City Council. With your permission, Mayor, I'd like you to present.
Thank you for all your service.
Thank you very much.
And in typical police fashion, we couldn't afford a cake, so he's going to take his wife out.
Mike said I did this without compensation. That's not true. It's not monetary compensation. But the people I've gotten to know in the police department, I just have the utmost respect for these people, the difficult job they do, and the friendships I formed are worth every hour I've ever put in. So thanks to all the men and women in the Blaine Police Department.
Thank you, Jim.
Okay, the next item of business is audience participation. Seeing no one has signed up, would anyone like to step forward? And see none? Okay, written communication. Sherry, did we have any written communication?
We received a letter dated August 18th from Joel Douglas regarding the senior housing on Cedar Court. And an email dated August 24th from the state auditors regarding the infamous document for City of Blaine's 2011 audit.
Okay, next item is commission, committee and board reports. Clark, do you have anything for the Blaine Economic Development Advisory Committee?
We've had a meeting and we've made some progress. Our next meeting is scheduled for Tuesday a week.
Okay. Ken, Northwest Economic Council.
They had their monthly board meeting last week. They had a presentation from the Doing Business in the USA organization, which is Jim Pettinger and a number of his folks who do consulting with companies in Canada that are looking to do business here. The next meeting next month, they're planning on having representatives from the hospital to talk about some of the changes in the healthcare system.
Okay. How about the Blaine Tourism Advisory Committee?
BTAC met last week. We reviewed approximately 9, maybe 10 applications that we received for funding from the BTAC for 2013. We did interviews with the applicants, and the group has made a recommendation to Mr. Tomczyk that I'm sure he'll bring to the council in your future.
Bonnie, anything from the Blaine Chamber of Commerce?
No report, but meetings are first Wednesday of the month if anybody's interested in coming to a chamber meeting.
Jeff and Bonnie, anything on the RED loan committee?
I don't think so, unless Jeff has heard anything.
We did hear about from
did
the
you?
Bank.
What was the response?
And they will charge, they will provide a loan, but they will charge interest.
Okay.
So we'll have to.
Was there an agreement on how much that would be, or does that work out yet?
They said 4%.
4%.
Yeah. So the committee will need to regroup.
Yeah, we'll have to see just what we want to do, if we want to do that for sure. Okay.
Okay. Paul on the WTA board.
No meetings, no report.
Okay, Charlie, Drayton Harbor Shellfish Advisory Committee.
No meeting and no report. I was on vacation in Harbor.
Okay, Dennis on the Senior Center Liaison.
Yeah, there are a couple of things. Starting September 5th, the Community Meals of Blaine will be at the Blaine Community Center, and those are from 5 to 7. There's no charge for the meals. Donations will be accepted. And this is part of the community assistance program, and it's sponsored by local churches, individuals, and businesses. The other thing was the computers were installed today at the library up there. And this summer, the center was used by a number of folks because the summer camps were being held out at Horizon. So they moved some of the exercise programs into senior center.
That's it. Thank you, Dennis. Michael Jones, do we have anything from the Planning Commission?
No report from the Planning Commission. Just a reminder that we are one commissioner short, and if any of you know anyone who might be likely candidates, I would encourage you to encourage them to apply. We will continue to advertise periodically, but we don't run it continuously because it's quite expensive to just continuously advertise.
Mm-hmm. Anything from the Park and Cemetery Board?
No report, sir.
Chief Haslam, anything from Law and Justice?
There's been no meeting and no report, sir.
Okay. Gary, do we have anything from the Small Cities Caucus?
The in lieu of a Small Cities Caucus meeting, we met last week, Ken, with a representative from the state of Washington.
Eagles Millsboro.
Yeah, and gave a presentation on innovation and economic development. It was excellent. He did a real nice job and had some shared some good information. And it was pretty well attended. There weren't a lot of small cities there. I'm not sure that we weren't the only one. But it was an excellent meeting.
Good. Thank you, Gary. Paul, did you happen to attend the COG meeting?
No, I did not.
Okay. Okay, no report there. Next item on the agenda, city manager and staff reports.
Okay, we'll begin with Public Works and Raven.
Thank you, Gary. Well, lots going on in Public Works. See, we're making some dust on 8th Street. Project there is going really well. We are expecting to get the majority of the concrete work done on the south side of the street so that they can start tearing up the north side of the street just in time for City Hall to move out. No major challenges experienced, just a typical thing when you've got an old right-of-way with a lot of utilities in it, but nothing out of the ordinary. The Peace Portal Trail project, I wanted to let you guys know that we are having the contractor come back and redress some of the shoulder. The grass strip, if you haven't driven through, has become a weed strip. Unfortunately, the hydroseeding that we did a really good job of holding back any erosion from that new topsoil. but we just haven't gotten enough moisture and heat to really trigger the grass to grow. We've got a couple of good sections growing, but we're not very happy with it. On the section in front of the Seascape condos, we're going to actually be installing sod starting tomorrow. And the rest of the corridor, we're going to revisit in September how exactly we're going to do that. We're not sure. It might be some combination of contractor and city forces. But in any event, try to get something to materialize there before the growing season is over. Let's see. The Marine Drive project, we expect it to start up next week. We've had some delays getting the railroad permitting on track, and so we've ended up deciding to do a design around so that we can get that started and finished before we don't have weather to finish it with. Wanted to also let you know about a couple of other things going on. We've actually had an item on the Public Works budget for a while for doing some yard improvements, so I wanted to let you know that I'm actually getting those started. We're looking at a two-story structure that would be built into the hillside next to the Public Works building. That would be utilized by Public Works on the base floor through our yard and other departments through the top floor from the Skalman Park accessway. So we're excited to see that getting kicked off. There's also some water quality improvements that I've solicited for some bids on. That is too small to bring to council, but just to let you know that we're looking on trying to address some of the water quality issues that we have in our yard. In addition, one of the things that we've done to kind of address the short-term needs and of the Banner Bank building is we've taken one of our maintenance workers and kind of created a trial position called facilities lead. That would be Pat Freeman. So he is where we have leads for all our water utility. We have a street lead. We have a sewer lead. We haven't had a facilities lead. So Pat's taking that on so that we could better evaluate what the real needs are of that building, as well as all the other city facilities, and best respond to them. If it's determined that that is going to be a permanent position, we will advertise through the union and go through all the appropriate channels. But we needed to do something quick and to address the short-term stuff that was so that we were as responsive to our tenants as possible. And then along the line of our facilities, I wanted to let you know that we're conducting interviews this week for an energy savings performance contractor. There's a Department of Commerce grant that's out there that has a specific allocation to small cities that we're interested in pursuing that might help us to afford some deferred maintenance on our facilities that could then be paid for through the energy savings. So this is something that I have some experience with in Bellingham. I wasn't aware about the small city grant that was available until I came here, and so we're going to be interviewing two state-chosen contractors tomorrow. Sure. Oh, excuse me, Wednesday. I'm rushing through my week here. And just wanted to let you know, I guess out of the strategic planning process, there was a desire from the council at that time that we look at the status of kind of our road bond and what other types of funding is available for streets. I want to do that with you, and our thought was that Jeff and I would work together on that and bring that to you as part of our capital improvement program in our 2013 budget. So if you have any questions.
Quick question.
Bonnie has a question.
All right, and I have a question on the H Street project. The southeast corner of Harrison.
Yes.
And H. Seems like that bulb out really bulbs out really far.
Yes. In fact, I just looked at that today, got a little input from our police chief here, and we looked at that. What you're looking at or what you're feeling right now is about 4 feet narrower than it will actually be.
Okay.
Because they have a foot and a half foot gutter, and then they've got about a foot there where the there's a break in the asphalt where they need to fit their forms that'll get filled in.
Okay.
It is intended to be narrowed. That was actually something that our previous public works director wanted to see happen to try to create a little traffic calming at the corner.
Right.
I will say I measured it myself this morning. The incoming lane is 14 foot wide and the exiting lane is 12 foot wide. It's more than wide enough for two vehicles to turn. It just means that they need to slow down.
Yeah. Turning right onto H, it's tight because you feel
tight.
Like you're going into the other lane when you make a turn.
I stood there, probably watched two box trucks in the time that I was there, and several passenger vehicles maneuver that just fine.
Okay.
And again, remember, it's going to be 2 foot wider than it perceives
okay,
to be now
yeah.
on each side.
And I did kind of take that into consideration. I realized the stanchions out there, you know, imagined
yeah.
what it would be like if I could go a little. I was just curious. It
yeah,
seemed
it,
a little tight.
Apparently there's been issues with people turning into that lot a little fast for vehicles backing up out of
yeah.
the perpendicular parking or the angle parking, excuse me.
Uh-huh.
And that was
yeah, that
what
he
wanted to do to address that.
Yeah,
so
that will help that, yeah.
Thank you for your insight, though. We are looking at turning back that curve that's going down the center, maybe bringing that back another 20 feet, and I think that'll help things from feeling quite so.
Okay, that might. Yeah.
Are there any other questions?
Okay, if there are not, then Chief, do you have anything?
I have no report, Your Honor.
Michael.
Yes, we continue to make progress and work through the occasional hiccup on the new City Hall and remodel project, but things are going along well. These last couple weeks here will be busy. For sure, and things may seem a little hectic and probably a little disorganized around here as things go into boxes. It's funny how you think you can do without something until you need it, and so the process right now is interesting. But today was the first day that we were actually moving boxes. Public Works crew members moved quite a bit of stuff today, and they will be doing some more moving tomorrow. The large furniture delivery from our furniture vendor is due to arrive tomorrow morning at about 9 o'clock, and they'll be bringing everything up in the elevator as well, and then they'll be assembling that furniture, so it will look really different in another couple of days. And most of the work on the third floor is wrapping up today and tomorrow, and they're moving on to wrapping up things on the fourth floor, which look a lot less finished than the third floor at this point. But third floor is really looking pretty great. It's starting to come together. We will have some tours, and they're on your calendar here. They're open to the public on Tuesday and Wednesday of next week, right after Labor Day. There's some morning tours and some afternoon tours, and I encourage you to come during one of those if you have a chance. We'll have someone posted on the third and fourth floor to kind of lead people around and let them see the space. And people will be able to go and walk around in places that they won't readily be able to access once security is in place and you know, people, the locks are on and people are actually in their offices. So it'll be kind of a unique opportunity to see it before it's all in use. But definitely moving along. The other item that I wanted to mention is, maybe some of you might have noticed, but there is some construction happening in Brickyard Cottages. That was the property where you had authorized the variance on recently. There's one building under construction, and they have been working with us to come up with four additional floor plans and designs, which we expect, according to what they're telling us, that they'll likely start construction on some of those plans shortly, within the next month or so.
Charlie?
Are they going to build on Bayview, or are they just going to stay on that inner part?
They're going to build on both streets. Yeah, they're going to build on both sides. The inside lots are the duplex lots.
So they're all duplex on the inside and the single family on the outside?
No, there are three duplex lots on the inside, and the rest are all single family everywhere.
So
there are some single family
on
the
inside
as well.
Okay.
Yeah. It just happened to be that was, that didn't need a variance, and so they already had that permit.
Right.
We were ready to issue that permit regardless, but they're moving right along.
Is that single family?
Michael,
question.
Is there a maintenance still on that park?
Is there maintenance still on the park? Yes, the city has a maintenance contract on the park.
Well, when they planted those trees, they got a dead one in there.
Oh, well, the tree is city property, separate sort of from the park. We'll look into that. It's a street tree there, and there is no longer a bond or a guarantee on that. It's been quite a while.
No, it's on the berm.
Oh, it's on the berm. Yeah. Oh, okay. Sorry, I thought it was one of the street trees.
Honey has a question.
Michael, what is the requirement for maintaining the Bayview Street, the street tree area, the planting strip? Does a developer have a requirement to keep
every property up? Owner has a requirement to maintain the undeveloped right-of-way in the front of their property.
Okay.
So it's the property owner.
Okay. Are we going to enforce that? It just looks so bad.
We'll definitely bring that up with them. As you know, we don't really have anyone staffed for enforcement for a lot of those kinds of things, but when we enforce things on a case-by-case basis, but we can definitely give some attention to that.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Any other questions?
All right. Next, Jeff?
Just to give you a brief update on the 2013 budget planning. I've met with all the department heads and got their requests, and we'll be putting a lot of numbers together and meeting with Gary after we move so that we're prepared for our first study session.
Okay.
Jeff?
Sherry, do you have anything?
No report.
Okay. Teaming with Michael here, your first council meeting in the new City Hall will be September the 10th, and there will be an open house beginning at 4 p.m., and we have scheduled and there will be some refreshments, at that occasion. We have scheduled the ribbon cutting for 5:30. Your meeting starts at 6. So there will be a ribbon cutting at 5:30. We will have spoken to Harry about this, but ask Harry to say a few words. And of course, all the council members will be a part of the ribbon cutting. I'm going to have some of the staff that have worked on this project also participate. And I contacted Alan Black, we've given him a special invitation to participate as well. And John Liebert was a part of the council that approved that, so John has been invited to participate. So I hope that you all join in and help us celebrate the grand opening of the new City Hall. Other than that, we have nothing else to report, Mayor.
Okay. Okay. Next. We don't have a public hearing. The next item is a consent agenda. Going to make a motion? Let me cover off. Approve first. We're going to have approval of payables in the amount of $391,947.76, an advance pay of $10,845.79, and approval of the August 13, 2012 City Council minutes. And I understand Mr. Dinos prepared to make a motion.
Move approval. Second.
Seconded by Charlie. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion is carried 7-0. Next item is the council action items. Number one, we have a setting of a public meeting on September the 24th for consideration of an ordinance authorizing the condemnation of a right-of-way for Mott's Hill Parkway.
This is a matter of council that we had addressed in the executive session. Setting this for a public meeting on that day would not
be passing the ordinance. We're just setting the meeting on the calendar so that we can proceed with the requisite notice under state law. So staff could do that unilaterally, but we felt, given the history, we ought to take this to council and have council just set the public meeting so that we can go forward. We have to provide notice to the property owners that when you are going to take final action on potential ordinance authorizing condemnation, and we have to notify the papers and that type of thing. So we need about at least 2 weeks advance head time to get that published, and actually a little bit more, so we're setting it out for September 24th is the day we suggest. All this is, again, is setting that time for your potential action. This isn't passing the ordinance authorizing the acquisition of property by condemnation or other means. It's just having the date set.
Does this preclude just buying it?
This does not preclude just buying it, negotiating it. Your passing of the ordinance, the way we construct the ordinance itself, says to acquire the property by negotiation or condemnation. So we are authorized to go forward, and whenever we would find a number through negotiation, that would always come back to the council to approve. But nothing in this steps precludes the more desirable approach of acquiring the property by negotiations.
Are there any other questions?
We just so you know, council, we can't start a condemnation action unless we give notice to the property owner and that you pass an ordinance authorizing it. So what we typically do in our process is you authorize us to proceed to acquire the interest in the property by negotiation or condemnation, and you do that by ordinance.
I believe Dennis has a question.
I would just like to move that we go ahead and with the consideration of the ordinance.
For final action.
For final action.
On the 24th.
On the 24th, 2/12.
Jerry, did you get that?
With the constantly amended motion, I said.
Seconded. Ken? Any other questions, comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 7-0.
Thank you, Council.
Next item on the agenda is, let me see if I get this in.
Yeah. Council, I just want to, we had at the end of the agenda an executive session for this action. I assume we don't want to have that executive session. I'm going to leave and not so I can actually get
caught. We'll take this halfway home and then we'll call you.
There you go.
We might decide to have one at the next meeting, though.
Yeah,
24th, May 7th. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is to authorize the city manager to sign a service agreement for online payments.
In the finance office, we receive numerous inquiries from patrons about online payment services for accepting credit and debit cards. So we conducted extensive research on that payment option, and we found that quite a few cities in the state use that type of system, and Linden is one of those cities. So I went and talked to the Linden finance director and got some details from her and to find out what company the city of Linden uses, and they use InCourt. Even though it's titled InCourt, they also process utility payments and other miscellaneous city payments, such as facility rentals. In court, they do charge a convenience fee, and that's based on the average bill, and that's noted in Exhibit B of the agreement. In talking with Linden, they paid a lot in credit card service fees, and the city of Blaine also does that, $20,000 a year. What we're proposing it in that providing the service, we would no longer accept credit debit cards at the cashier window. And that would reduce our costs by $20,000 a year. And the city of Linden, as I mentioned, also has this arrangement. So how this system would work is that a patron could go onto the city's website from their home computer, and our website would post a link to InCourt. They would click on the link and then put in their information, whether they're paying utility bill, for a court fine, put in that information, and then submit it. They would be charged the convenience fee and then submit it, and then they could print out a receipt, or the receipt would be emailed to their home email address. If they don't have a computer at home, they could also pick up the phone and call in court and make a payment over the phone. And also, we would provide, or the company would provide, a computer kiosk that we would locate at the new city hall in the lobby area. So if someone come in, they could go and use that kiosk. We could show them, finance staff could show them how to use the kiosk if they're not familiar with that process. But we would obviously continue to accept cash payment, cash and check at the cashier window. And then also we have an auto debit system. It's an automatic debit of a person's bank account that we would continue to use that. So what we're proposing is give people a two-month notice of this change, and we would have utility bill inserts alerting people of what's going on. So staff recommends that council authorize the city manager to approve this service agreement.
Clark has a question.
This is an outside service and you that collects. How much do they charge?
It depends on, it's based on average bill.
The reason I ask, because I have found these to be very ineffective, and I started using them in some of my businesses, and I had a lady the other day, I had to refund $795, and found out that they charged her $120 fee.
It's listed here in the appendix. For an average bill of $150, it would be $395.
I know these have become very popular because, you know, I don't want to pay credit card fees myself or debit card fees. And that's so I went to an outside source, but I found, I don't know, maybe I went to the wrong place, but they're not very reliable. They just kind of hit and miss. And then you try to get it straightened out, and like this lady was charged $120. And it took us probably 3 months to get that straightened out. Well, so I found that it was almost like horror. I went backwards.
In talking with Linden, like I said, Linden uses InCourt, and they've been very pleased with this service.
I must have got the wrong one.
There are a lot out there, and that's why we kept getting offers from so many different companies, and knowing that Linden uses a specific one, they've had positive experience with this, we figured, you know, we'd go with it too.
Charlie has a question?
I can see where for us, safe advocate, but as for the convenience of citizens of Blaine, what's the downside to the citizens of Blaine? I mean, what is going to change that's going to make it harder for them? Is there anything that's going to be?
90% of our utility payers pay by cash or check,
so it's
or use auto debit.
It's cards.
Just a few, yeah.
Okay.
And those few were costing us $20,000 a year?
Yeah.
Wow. And with this service, it costs the city nothing?
It would cost the city nothing.
Seems like a no-brainer.
Are there any other questions?
Yeah.
Paul?
My experience with this, they have to go to a separate place, and they it's not just as simple as calling up seeing what to do. They have to fill out a form, and so how's it work? Tell me. Because I've really had a bad experience with this, and I you know, I don't want 500 people in the city of Blaine mad at us because we did this.
So how does, like, the phone?
How does it work?
There's the 800 number. They pick up the phone. They call directly to InCourt. InCourt processes the payment. The city each day receives a batch of all payments received. We enter that into our accounting system. That's all there is to it.
Did you talk to PayPal?
No.
No, I mean, that's not a joke. I'm serious because I've talked to them about doing it. And they will do it. And they take the fee the other way. And it's not very much. That's all. I quit.
Paul?
So the net effect of this would be to raise the monthly payment to those using credit cards by about
$4. Yeah, that's the net effect.
Instead of us paying.
Exactly.
Instead of utility.
Yeah.
Utilities.
Here's an advantage we're hoping to gain for folks who
don't live in the Blaine area but end up with either a fine through the court system or a penalty that's due from a traffic citation. A lot of folks, if they don't live in Washington State, don't realize the negative affects of not taking care of a citation. And we've been looking for ways to make it as convenient as possible for folks to just take care of those penalties as soon as possible, both to get it off of their calendar and off of their mind, and to save the cost from the city to maintain those aged counts. There are a lot of communities on both sides of the border that when I get my Vancouver City parking ticket, I just log on to the website and plop down my Visa card for my $35 and go on with my business without having to worry about stamps and envelopes and all that good sort of stuff. So we maintain a healthy file of aged accounts in the court, and we're hoping that we can offset some of those losses and be a convenience for travelers as well.
Ken has a question.
So the catch point for me on this was the policy of not accepting credit cards ourselves directly anymore. I personally have had the experience of traveling and remembering halfway through the trip we didn't pay the damn utility bill, and since we give people almost no time at all, calling frantically and giving credit card numbers so my power wasn't turned off. I like the fact that part of what this does, though, is it allows for this kiosk in-house, so there's some place here, if they do come in, we're not turning them away and saying, go back to your house.
Exactly.
Tell me within this agreement, though, what are the rules around this kiosk? Does NCORP maintain this? What sort of time frame, if it isn't functioning, are they going to come and repair it so that we know that...
It is NCORP's equipment, so that they are responsible. The only thing we have to provide, of course, is power for the computer and then the internet connection.
Right, so if it goes down, is there anything in the agreement where they have some period of time by which they have to get it back up?
There isn't anything specifically spelled out in the agreement, but I could go back and have
that. I hate to do that, but I don't need to tell you, that's all the technology stuff. These things go down. And
yeah.
If they don't come for a week and it's during that time when our billing happens, it could be a real problem.
Yeah, I will confirm with the contact.
I would like to add, though, that we are going to have another kiosk that's just in general for the public to get onto the city's website. And in worst case scenario, they can get onto that kiosk.
Yes, that's true.
The kiosk is simply a computer with a connection to the internet, so they can bring up a web browser and go to that site. They'd have the same ability at the library or the police department or the house.
Which is fine. It's just... I, frankly, was not going to, when I first looked at this, because of the policy change, I was not going to vote for. The fact that there's a designated place where we're not telling someone at the window, go someplace else, that's fine then, but I want to make sure we get some way to know that that is going to be functioning, if not all the time, that it's going to be repaired in some period of time.
So that's a really
good
point.
If you look at other utilities that you pay every month, you have no choice. Yeah. I mean, there's no place to go to pay your natural gas bill or your phone bill, or you send it in, or auto debit with them or whatever. They don't have a place with a cashier to do that, and everybody gets by just fine with that.
That's one of the nice things about having our own utility is that we don't have to have service, that we can actually have service with a smile. So.
Yeah. But we don't, My point to Jeff has been, why don't we just not have a cashier? And the primary reason for that is court. That's the primary reason that we have a cashier, is to process court payments. We could get by with everything else without it.
Jeff, does this require us to have to sign an agreement with these folks for any period of time, or can this be changed at any moment?
It can be changed at any moment. We could cancel it at any moment. If it doesn't work out, we can cancel it.
Okay. Anyway, Dennis?
Are the people that are using the credit cards now, they have to come in here to do it?
They can call over the phone.
Okay. Yeah. So they know that part.
Okay, anyone care to make a motion?
I would.
I'll move to authorize the city manager to sign the service agreement for the online payments with NCORP.
Seconder. Charlie seconds. Any other questions, comments? Paul wants to make a comment. Question?
Question. As the system is now, if I am in Oregon and I realize, like Ken, that I'm suddenly missing a payment, I can call the city and charge it to a credit card. Under this new system, would I be able to call whomever these folks are and charge it to a credit card?
Yes.
So from my perspective, the only thing that changes is A, I get charged $4.95 for the pleasure, and B, I call a different number.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Okay. Can we have a vote, please? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye. Abstain.
Okay. Motion carries 6-0 with one abstain. Okay. Next item on the agenda is consideration of a park impact fee comprehension plan amendment, CPA-1-12.
Yes, sir. I think the gut response or the intuitive thing to think of when you read that and you hear about that or start to think about it is that this is an action to reinstate park impact fees or something related to the actual fee itself, charging the fee. And this is not a reinstatement of the park impact fees. You would do that through another action. But this is a comprehensive plan amendment. And the comprehensive plan gives guidance and direction for the actions of the city. When the council started to discuss reinstating impact fees, council spoke about not having impact fees in the downtown area, or at least having lower impact fees in the downtown area. So we initiated this amendment to kind of start the development of that. There are essentially three options for not having impact fees for certain projects. One of those is to simply not have impact fees for any projects. That's what we have now. That's essentially the status quo. You don't have an impact fee for any project, well, then it doesn't apply to any particular project. Another way to go about that would be, or option two, would be to create service areas or zones and set lower fees based on those service areas. So you could look at different regions of the city and determine where the greatest need for new facilities are, and in those regions there would be a higher fee. In areas where there was less need for additional facilities, new facilities, you would have lower fees. That would be the logic behind that. That's not unusual with transportation impact fees, where you might have an area that needs a new highway and an overpass and these other things, and so a service area is set up, and that region pays for that, whereas another part of the community that doesn't really benefit from that very much and doesn't generate the need because it's already developed and the roads are functioning isn't part of that service area. There's a little bit of crossover, and everyone pays a little bit into that kind of larger pool, but service areas are not a very unusual thing. You could create those for parks. Option three, would be to develop a fee waiver program that would waive fees for certain projects that have a broad public purpose. And there's an allowance under the state law for projects that have a broad public purpose to have their impact fee waived. But the waiving comes at a cost because the fee doesn't go unpaid. It has to be paid by the city through another revenue source. Typically, that would be taxes or some other way that we earn money. You can't take my impact fees and use them to pay the ones for Raven that you waived. You can't beg and borrow in the same pool. You have to dedicate other revenues to do that if you decide to institute a program like that. This comprehensive plan amendment would set the groundwork for option two or three in regard to park impact fees. Option one is already in place. If you want to have no park impact fees for any residential project, oddly enough, or if you want to have park impact fees for all residential projects, you should vote to deny the proposal before you. So having no park impact fees for any projects or having park impact fees for all projects, you would vote no on this proposal. If you want to institute option 2 or 3, which allows for different fees in different areas or a potential to waive fees for certain projects, then you would you should vote to remand this project to the Planning Commission to develop an ordinance for service areas or a waiver program or both. So just to kind of reiterate, if the status quo is good, then you vote no. If you think the old status quo, which was everyone paid a fee, was good, that's also a no vote. This is only for differential fees or treating different things separately. And also keep in mind that this only relates to park impact fees. You also docketed something for transportation impact fees, very, very similar to this, but this is the one for park impact fees. The transportation impact fee would come separately. Staff developed two alternatives that were presented to the Planning Commission. One was for the creation of park service areas. We suggested that you could create 3 service areas based on our 3 planning areas, West Blaine, Central Blaine, and East Blaine. You would initially probably look at the basic idea that in West Blaine, there are no city parks. There are quite a bit of other recreational facilities. We have some great trails out there, some that are owned by the city, some that are owned by private property owners, some that are managed by the Homeowners Association, some are managed by the city. There's a great county park, but again, not a city park. And so that area has kind of its framework. In Central Blaine, there's generally a well-developed area. Most of the lots are built on, most of the property is developed, and there are a number of neighborhood parks. There's also a big park like Marine Park. There, however, our park plan does indicate additional parks, and our park plan does look towards impact fees for paying for things like the boardwalk and Clover Park. So it does consider the idea of future development of more park facilities in Central Blaine. But for the most part, in a lot of ways, Central Blaine is pretty well developed. And then East Blaine is yet again another scenario where it's mostly undeveloped, doesn't really have any parks. Lincoln Park is actually in East Blaine when you look at the line where it's drawn, but it's right on the edge. And even Lincoln Park is really, in a lot of ways, not very developed. It's mostly a forest preserve kind of park with some trails. So you don't find playgrounds and ball fields and things like that in East Blaine. But you also don't find a lot of houses yet, so you'd probably see a need for that development as time came. So the commission, that was one suggestion, the different service areas. The other option was a fee waiver program for projects with a broad public purpose. And I have to admit that I was at somewhat of a loss when discussing this with the Planning Commission, and I couldn't give them very good examples. The examples that I kept coming up with were ones that park impact fees don't apply to. The best example of a project with a broad public purpose that I could think of was a hospital. If you live in a community that's far from the hospital, say like a town like Omak in eastern Washington, and the nearest hospital is all the way down in Wenatchee, if you can get a hospital developed in Omak, that's a great thing. I mean, it probably would save lives because it's 2 hours to the nearest hospital in Wenatchee in my scenario. So that would be something where arguably you could say, you know, that has a broad public purpose. It's worth it to this community as a whole to pay those fees and not have the hospital company have to do that. Now, that's great, but park impact fees don't apply to a hospital. So the argument falls dead. Park impact fees only apply to residential development. So you'd have to come up with a residential development scenario where there was a broad public purpose. And what we discussed was the idea that you could say, and you could probably build a case to say, that residential units developed in the downtown area, units above shops and units adjacent to shops, and just having more people in that downtown area has a benefit to the community because it brings life and vitality to the downtown. It brings customers to the downtown, and you could make an argument that that has a broad public purpose. Clearly, it is not as strong of an argument as a hospital in a town with no hospital, but there's a direction you can take there. The commission discussed and deliberated on those two issues. They thought about them, and they essentially decided on the concept overall is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. They didn't feel that residential units could really be considered to have a broad public benefit, even if those units are built downtown and tend to stimulate redevelopment of the downtown area. That is not really a broad public benefit in their thinking. They also did not feel that park service areas were needed. They did not think that we that there was any part of the city that didn't need park improvements. So they couldn't really say, you know, charge a fee there, but charge no fee here. They couldn't come up with that setting in their minds and in their deliberation. So they decided the creation of park service areas was unnecessary. So ultimately, the commission voted to recommend denial of the comprehensive plan amendment. Reinstituting park impact fees requires a municipal code amendment. That is not what you're voting on tonight. The Planning Commission and the Park and Cemetery Board both sent you their opinions on the issues of fees, and both suggested reinstating the fees uniformly for all new construction. But that's not the issue at hand. If you want to keep the no-fee program in place for all residential units, you should vote to deny this proposal. If you want to reinstate park impact fees for all new residential development at a future time, you should vote to deny this proposal. If you want to institute a differential fee program based on service areas or to develop a fee waiver program, you would be voting to approve this amendment. But if you think the amendment should be approved, you need an ordinance because you've changed the comprehensive plan through the passage of an ordinance. The way our code is written, the Planning Commission only sends you an ordinance on a comprehensive plan amendment when they recommend approval. If they're recommending denial, they don't send you an ordinance that says, this is the ordinance you would pass if you disagreed with us. It's kind of a waste of their time if they think you're going to deny it. They don't spend a lot of time developing an ordinance. We don't spend a lot of time writing it. So, just to summarize, if you want to approve the amendment, you should vote to remand the proposal to the Planning Commission with direction on which of those two options you want presented in an ordinance, or possibly you want both the service areas and the fee waiver option. But to approve this, you need an ordinance. So if you're going to approve, you should vote to remand. If you're going to deny, you're basically voting for the status quo or reinstating the old status quo, which is the collection of impact fees.
Okay, Charlie, just one moment. Clark has a question.
Okay, if we put this back on, let's say somebody builds a house for $200,000. This is only new construction, right?
That's correct.
So they build a house for $200,000. It's a one-time fee. How much would that be?
It used to be $1,000. We have no fee now, so $1,000 is the answer, I suppose.
So we're reinstating the $1,000.
If you were to decide to take that action at a future date, you would, I assume,
okay. Is it $1,000 whether the house is $500,000 or $100,000?
It is, because it's based upon units. It's based upon the demand or the load created, right, not by the value.
That answers my question. Thank you.
Paul, and then I'll come to you, Charlie.
So that if we were to have a park impact fee, it would be levied only against residential construction.
Assuming you reinstate a park impact fee like the one we had before, yes.
Okay, thank you.
So if somebody builds condos, it's still per unit, right?
It's a per unit fee. That's how it was in the past, and that's how likely it would be reinstated.
Charlie?
So I've heard lots of stuff, but get down, it says recommend, staff recommends the city accept this recommendation and deny the plan. So, okay?
That's
basically
correct.
That's your recommendation. Planning Commission's recommendation. Staff's recommendation.
Just a matter of clarification, do we have to make a motion?
It's an action item. I don't know if you have to make a motion according to Robert's rules, frankly. So I'll be positive of the answer.
I'll make the motion. I don't care.
Charlie will make a motion. What is your motion, Charlie?
Did we deny? I don't know how you say it.
So the motion
deny the comprehensive plan amendment.
To accept the Planning Commission's recommendation to deny.
That sounds good.
Seconded by Dennis. Any other questions? Question by Paul.
Hey, I'm a bear of little brain again tonight. With the motion as it was phrased, and with your careful analysis of it, I think that we should have three separate planning units within Blaine. So I should vote against Charlie's motion?
If you think we should have three separate planning units for park services and the fees that might be related to developing park services, you should vote against Charlie's motion. That's right.
Thank you, sir.
But can we go
theoretically.
So if we go back to what it was before, a place that has all their houses developed out, they're not going to be paying because there's no more houses being built in the area. The only places that are going to be affected by this are new construction. So, your areas are just, it's kind of moot because an area that needs parks is going to be paying for them.
Yes, but the semi-Yamu area is not totally built out, and yet it has, in my mind, substantially less need for new parks than East Maple Ridge.
Yeah, but the money that can help build the parks over that area. No. I mean, for what few houses are left to build there? I mean, how many?
But that's the Robin Hood theory.
Bonnie has a question.
Just so everybody's clear, by voting against or voting for Charlie's motion, it stays the way it is now, where we have no park impact fees.
That's right.
At the current time. It's staying that way.
That's right.
Until and if we address it in the future.
That's right.
Okay.
Any other further questions? Call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Two opposed. So the motion carries 5-2. Charlie and
Clark
and Paul. Okay, next item of business. Is an amendment number one to agreement for the wholesale acceptance of septic tank.
Just
raise an exciting topic. That would be neat. We thought we'd end this on an easy note. This is a simple amendment to add one lot east of Blaine Road that was part of the urban growth area back when the original development permit with Whatcom County was approved. Since we have since removed that from our urban growth area, I took it upon myself when this lot was requested to consult with Whatcom County Planning and Whatcom County Health Department to confirm that this is in fact still something that they would like us to do. And because of the sensitivity of the Drayton Harbor watershed, and because of this lot's proximity to the watershed, and because this lot is distinct from any other lot in that area that is part, that's already part of the Harbor Shore Sewer Association, we've decided to recommend that you add this to the agreement. In so doing, this one lot would be added as a potential sewer customer to our utility. In addition, additional language has been added that would allow us to revisit the rates as it pertains to actual loads at the meter. Currently, the way that the agreement was put together, an assumption, an engineered assumption was made based on how much load would be on a particular per resident. And that's based on available science. It's not based on an actual lot that's here in Blaine. So this opener language, if you will, or true-up language, allows us to revisit that once we start seeing customers and what they're actually utilizing. So we think, because this A adds another customer to our stressed utility, and B, because it gives us that flexibility to revisit our rates, it's a win-win for the city of Blaine, and recommend your approval.
Questions? Ken?
Move that we authorize the city manager to sign amendment number one of the agreement.
Second.
Seconded by Charlie. Any other questions, comments? Question by Bonnie?
That one lot, is that lot associated with this development?
Yes. It's under the same ownership and would be a part of the same covenants and rules.
It's okay. A single lot?
Single lot.
But everything around it would not apply.
That's correct. It's okay. Partially because of the topography, partially because of the different requirements that were placed on property by the county that this is down to one lot.
Okay.
Are there any other questions, comments? Dennis, do you?
I had talked to Gary and Raven and Bill about this earlier, and my concern was at the time that the number that was plugged in was twice as big as it should be. And I stated that when we first looked at this thing. And I haven't found anything to change my mind. And I talked to Raven a little and Gary a little bit today about it. The way the language is now, as I understand it, they're going to look at this meter and say, you got so much volume that went through it. And based on how many houses are hooked up to it, that's going to determine the amount to charge. And so there's a kind of a question in mind, you know, the 275 that it was originally plugged in, that's the really the key factor, and if you can replace that with what comes actually through the meter, that would make sense to me. What was there before did not make any sense.
So you're arguing in favor?
I'm in favor of it.
Are there any other questions or comments? Call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Yeah, I'm running out of agenda items here. I don't think there's anything else on the agenda as far as I can see. Is there any new business?
Unfinished
business, excuse me.
Did we ever get the bill for the Martin property for the engine, for the survey and all that stuff? Is that all done now?
It's all done. I don't know what the status of the final billing is, but this report that was a part of your action item tonight was the final product.
Buddy?
When are we going to get back on to strategic planning?
As I have time.
Yeah, we're just going to put that off until after the move and
yeah,
and probably after the first of the year.
Kind of chaotic.
More than likely.
We will have it to you before your first budget work session.
Okay.
Dennis,
is there any update on the LID up on H Street?
No, we sent in a preliminary contract to them, and we have not heard back yet. So I'm eagerly anticipating that we'll get that anytime.
Well, no, that's a different. The Puget Sound agreement.
PSE.
Oh, okay.
Terry, very happy with the way things are going. It's not happening at the speed of light.
So,
you're talking about the sewer.
That's right.
Yeah.
The LID up in Vista Terrace area.
That's what I was responding to. We actually did get a preliminary contract from the Public Health Trust Fund.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
Would those folks, if the sewer got, I don't know how quickly it could be put in, but could it possibly happen within this year?
I think so.
So that if somebody wanted to hook up to it?
Oh, actually hooked up this year, I don't. Maybe kicked off and construction started this year.
Well, there are a number of people up there that are interested in
great
when it comes on.
That's good to hear. We'll follow up on that. Thank you.
And the PSC won't, nothing's going to happen on that till after the first of the year. Is that correct?
You know, we get an email from them like every other week or so that says, don't worry, we're still working on it. They've had a change in staff, and I think that's affected their response time.
Okay. And I have one more thing, Harry.
Okay, buddy.
On the request from Mr. Douglas on the Cedar Court senior housing, okay. I just want to ask Michael, I suppose, if there's any way we can make any kind of concessions on this request so that this housing might be able to happen. This senior housing is something we'd like to see in Blaine. I understand he's going to be somewhat on the affordable side. He's asking to have some concessions made. I guess before he will not be able to actually submit a complete building permit per se by the end of the year to qualify for the $3,000 or so waiver of the connection fees, correct? And that's how our ordinance is written, that, you know, he's asking that there, you know, that if he submits just about everything but the final thing, is there any way we can make any concessions on this?
Well, any way to make any concessions is awfully broad, so it's hard for me to mm-hmm. say no to that. But if you were saying, can we agree to have the fees not charged to someone who hasn't submitted the building permit in mm-hmm. time for the deadline, I would say no. And the reason I would say that is it would be making an exception for someone.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't do that. We need to universally apply the rule. We could mm-hmm. extend the deadline. When I say we, I mean you could extend the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
But that would apply to everyone, not to one person.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is the idea there where he's suggesting that he'll do a bunch of work and be prepared, but he won't have the building permit. He'll do the other things prior to the building permit.
Mm-hmm.
For most people that are building a home, the only thing they need to do prior to the submitting the building permit application is nothing. They don't have to do anything in advance. And so would that apply to those people as well? If they've done nothing, then they have the exception? You mm-hmm. know what I mean? It puts it in a very difficult mm-hmm. position for me.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I would say is that Mr. Douglas, while I think his senior housing project sounds like a good thing, he's been talking to us about that for 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is not like a sudden, you know, wow, I'm just missing the deadline. I mean, literally, we've been talking about this for 5 years,
mm-hmm.
it's before I even started working.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. if you think it's worthwhile, council should mm-hmm. consider potentially extending the deadline for everyone, but mm-hmm. otherwise, I can't really.
Yeah, because there's still no guarantees from him.
Dennis has a comment.
Michael, is that $3,000 a different credit than what the city is
talking
about?
Did he write? I don't have his letter open in front of me. Did he write $3,000?
He says we wish to qualify for the $3,000 credit.
He's
waiver
seems frequently to misunderstand what's happening. No, it is. It's not $3,000.
Is there a credit for senior housing from somewhere?
Oh,
not that I'm aware of. Not for $3,000. There's a general facility fee between water and sewer. It's about $6,000, I believe, roughly.
But there isn't a state.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, because that's
if it
what
is
I
a state one, we don't have the control over it anyway.
And I
well,
asked
that's
that
what
question.
I thought he was trying to qualify for.
I asked that question before. Is there something we can do for senior housing that some kind of incentive
so
to
you're
get? Apparently not.
So you're asking if there's something he can do to qualify for $3,000 benefit, even if he doesn't qualify.
Well, I thought the number that he was looking at didn't match up with anything as far as the fees.
Right. Yeah.
So I figured he had some other source of this $3,000.
Yeah. No.
Ken,
he's mistaken on the amount. Yeah.
Ken has a question.
So.
Or a comment?
Well, are you guys done with this topic?
Yeah, I'm done with this.
Okay.
Well, what else do you have?
Michael, this is confusing to me. I've got letters from him and stuff, too. And I really don't have an opinion one way or the other because you've been dealing with him for years. But it brings to the point, is like an ombudsman or something like that in your department. Is that a good thing where we could have somebody follow something all the way through that would be aware of what was going on? Because it seems...
Actually, two people in the department.
What?
Two people.
I got it. So do we need to hire somebody? That's what I'm asking.
I'm not sure that it would help in this instance.
What would make your life better in a perfect world?
Where does he begin?
I'm able to answer that question.
Oh, yeah. That's your Raven, Michael. Because he's about progress. You're about fixing it.
It certainly probably could help some project proponents if they had someone to assist them through the process. But I don't know that it would have any effect on this project.
Mm-hmm.
So, Charlie, just a moment. I think Ken was.
Is this on this topic,
Charlie?
Just need to talk to staff and look at the history.
you need to find out the history of some of this stuff before you start doing stuff.
That's why I asked the question.
Okay, we finished with this topic now, folks. Ken would like to address a new topic.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I know that leading up to the 4th, we had our community cleanup day. We also had the crews that came in to really address the weed problem that we had at the 276 overpass. And for the most part, from the Blaine perspective, they did that. I had the misfortune when I crossed the border the other day of for the first time actually staying on the interstate, not getting off in Blaine. And that first bit there, as you come over the interstate before you get to the overpass on that side of it, on the north side, I don't know that was ever addressed. If I remember right, there was some conversation about whether some of that was the state's responsibility, but there's a number of weeds there that I don't think we addressed during that time period, and it just looks horrible. So we might want to take a look at that.
On the interstate itself?
Coming, as you come through the border crossing heading south, rather than getting off in Blaine, you stay on I-5, and it's in that area from there up until you make the crossing at D Street.
Okay.
And the growth is actually coming out over top of the guardrails, and it just looks really bad.
But on I-5 itself, south.
Well, unless there's another road there, I do believe that's I-5, yes.
And, what we were addressing was the truck route,
right,
and the roundabouts.
Right, and I appreciated that.
Okay.
What I mean to tell you right now is I'm not saying we need to address it, but it's in our community. We need to get someone out there to address it.
Okay,
so
I'll look into that.
Todd Harrison is pretty responsive to things like that.
New topic. I've had a couple of people out in Semiahmoo talk to me about the divider on Semiahmoo Parkway and the lack of any form of landscaping. I don't know whether landscaping was intended for that, but a bunch of weeds are now growing in that area. And since this is our number one tourist attraction area, I just was wondering if there's an opportunity we can dull that up somehow, make it look more attractive. It's a little embarrassing for tourists coming into an area and finding a bunch of weeds growing in the divider in that area.
Thank you.
I think we can talk about that. It's one thing to get rid of the weeds. It's another thing to landscape it. That's an ongoing cost. It's a cost in landscaping, and it's a cost of maintaining the landscaping. Given our budget situation, we'd have to look at that pretty carefully, but we'll look at it. I agree. I think I would prefer to see landscaping other than those rocks. I definitely agree with that. Yeah. But we just need to figure out if that can be done without spending a lot of money.
Okay. Clark has a comment.
Myself and Ken Rathel actually volunteered to landscape that, put bark in it or something at one time. And somebody, I don't know who, Ken talked to him, told us no because they didn't want to take care of it.
I actually met with the Semiahmoo board a week ago Friday.
Yeah.
And talked to them on a variety of topics that relate to the resort and what Public Works could and couldn't do. And we kind of have a list, and what I told them that we would do is once City Hall's moved and the rest of our summer work kind of drops back, that we would start looking at it. And that median was one of the things on the list. But
we actually volunteered to pay for it out of our pocket.
Hmm.
This has been quite when you first did it.
Okay.
And somebody said, well, we couldn't maintain it, so don't do it.
Yeah.
That's probably true.
That is probably true. Yeah. I think when I talked to them, though, they sounded like they would be fine with bark mulch or anything just to fill it up and keep the weeds out. So I think there are reasonable things that we could do that would be better than what's there.
Right by the beach.
There's also a lot of issues with signs and things like that that he wanted us to look at. So it was kind of a big picture thing.
Raven, one of the signs there is, we have a tiny little sign that says, Welcome to Blaine.
Yeah.
And again, I refer back to this being the top-notch tourist attraction that we've got, I think, is the hotel.
Yeah.
I think it would behoove us to have a Welcome to Blaine sign flashed out there somewhere so that people know they're in Blaine.
Well, we've talked about, Raven and I have spoken about changing the two signs that say entering Blaine on, you know, either entrance to our nicer logo sign that we have now around town. So we're definitely moving in that direction. A large, highly visible sign, my guess is that you folks over there would make us take it down.
Well, just something that looks a little more attractive. The other thing that I've been approached about is there any way that we can put pressure on the county to clean up the entrance way into the Horizon project? I mean, it's just going to seed. The whole area looks really seedy. And I don't know whether the county has any means of going in and cleaning up the area into it. I don't know what part of it's county, what part of it's private, but it's sure starting to look very unattractive.
We can have Raven check on that and just see. I guess the other thing is I'm not, you know, do we mow any of that? I mean, we mow out there quite a bit. We're lifting our board blade over by there. We'll look at that area and see what.
Yeah, there's got to be some of it's got to be public property and some of it's private. I know that the area, the Horizon's been sold, apparently, and we need to be putting emphasis on the county about getting that straightened out. Dennis had a question.
Raymond, would you mow 14th Street on the east side?
Your lawn?
No, that's the that's the lot that the kids take down by Burger King. It grows up in the summertime, and then if they knock it down now, then they can see the kids walking down.
You're talking north of 8th Street?
North of 8th Street up to, it goes up to E.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mr. Jensen, you had your hand up a minute ago. Would you like to come forward and state your name? And we need to get you into the, on the recording here. Can you just state your name and address, please?
I'm Skip Jansen. We're the put the Harbor Shores the Harbor Shores project together, and I just wanted to make a comment regarding the city staff and let you know that they've been very professional and helpful and responsive to all of our needs. And I'd like to compliment the staff. And I think Raven made a good comment that this sewer system that we've put in, not just for the one lot, but for the for the entire project, we're taking all of the Harbor Shores lots off of septic tanks. So that's close to 50 septic tanks that won't be going into Drayton Harbor, and it has the potential, the capacity to handle up to 65 units that could potentially come off of the. So anyway. Thank you very much.
We certainly appreciate your comments. Is there any other unfinished business? If not, so I will adjourn. Oh, the city manager. Sorry.
Before you slam down the gavel, I want you to understand that when that gavel hits the diocese last. That you have adjourned the last city council meeting that will occur in this building, which
is historic building.
Many council meetings have occurred here.
Yes.
I think it's significant that you adjourn for the last time.
We adjourn?
Where's the picture?
We adjourn. The last time.
Excuse me? Are you moving into mushroom stars?